And whether you've been in the loop on international music or not, it's a fact that K-pop, or Korean popular culture, has become a global phenomenon. Not just music, but also TV dramas, movies, fashion, and food have spread widely across the world, especially among the youth. Now, what's often greatly overlooked are the problematic aspects of Korean culture that exist. Recent controversies in the nation arose due to two girl group members expressing their support for feminism. Fans bit back with negative comments, some even going so far as burning their fan merchandise. Clearly, a taboo still exists within Korean society, raising the question of whether the widespread celebration of Korean culture is indeed a good and unproblematic thing. Joining me today to tackle this question is Professor of Korean Studies Joanna Elving Hwan from the University of Western Australia. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me and good morning.
Absolutely. So what are the consequences of this massive global attention on Korea and its culture?
In general, or do you mean just in terms of...
I guess in general, what are some of like, the larger kind of effects from this that we might not necessarily think about?
Of K-pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think K-pop is one of those really interesting phenomena in sort of past 10 or 15 years to come out of Korea, because it sort of started as this very local, popular sort of popular culture movement, and then as sort of it became a real kind of marketing tool, I guess, for Korean popular culture more broadly overseas, it's just kind of spread into this global phenomenon. So I think it's a really interesting example of local music market that's gone kind of become, made Korea, I guess, into this global pop culture superpower.
Well, it does feel a bit like K-pop kind of defines Korea as a country in a lot of ways. Like when you talk to people, a lot of people with only knowledge of Korea seems to be something like K-pop.
Yeah, that's really true. And I mean, it's got its good sides, and I guess it's got its sort of negative sides as well. You know, when if Psy sort of defines a Korean culture, which of course is much broader than just that, it becomes perhaps a little bit kind of constraining, I would say.
Well, South Korea is a pretty conservative country in general and has quite a few social issues like gender equality and racial discrimination, which are still big, you know, controversial issues in the country itself. Why are they so problematic in Korea in particular?
I think Korea has recently, I mean, Korea's always been a very patriarchal country, but it's not really unusual in that sense in Asia more broadly. Korea's got a long history of really being quite sort of, you know, this gender discrimination in the workplace. You know, it's easier, of course, the glass ceiling is quite hard, has been quite hard for women to break in the workplace. And as a result, there's been these sort of, the Me Too movement in particular has really kind of taken foothold in Korea in past few months really in particular, and there's been these high profile sexual assault and harassment allegations against politicians and actors and academics as well, which have really led to a downfall of quite prominent figures in the political scene and also in the entertainment industry. And I guess those are sort of the negative sides of also the K-pop industry itself. There's been sort of allegations of sexual abuse and so forth. But I just hasten to add that, as I said, this is not unusual across Asia, but what is really special, I guess, about Korea is how vocal sort of women have been in coming out, and sort of it's really gathered sort of force over the past couple of weeks, and that I think is quite significant, you know. So Koreans don't really do half measures; they go all out, and I think that's really laudable.
So why are we so uncritical in you know, when we look at K-pop and so forth? We don't really have any of those connections. We just kind of, you know, enjoy and consume and so forth. Why are we so uncritical in our consumption of, you know, these of this culture of, you know, dramas and music and food?
Well, I guess people, when they consume popular culture, they don't really, if you're a fan of a band, you don't really want to think about what goes on behind the scenes. And also, the production companies themselves are quite careful to create this really sort of nice image of these bands. So typically, if you have a production company producing a new, say, girl band, they're quite careful to build a fan base even before the first album or single is even released, and they build this sort of personality around each one of the band members. One is the cute one, one is the sort of little bit spunky one, and so forth. So, and then those band members themselves, they typically have quite restricted lives behind the scenes, so they are not typically allowed to go out with boyfriends and so forth, and so it's quite difficult, I guess, for, you know, your average fan to even sort of gain access to it. But having said that, I mean, those get reported in the news once in a while, and there have been court cases and so forth in Korea trying to, you know, individual artists trying to gain a bit more rights with regards to their lives, really.
So, Joanna, I suppose a question then would be, is our consumption of this, an uncritical consumption of this, does that encourage this sort of system to continue? Is it problematic in the sense that by saying, you know, not associating with any of that and kind of just, you know, taking music and buying it and so forth, are we encouraging that to continue? Are we, you know, by not challenging it?
Well, I would actually kind of argue the opposite, because Korea also has very strong fan base, which can be quite vocal and also very, very effective in promoting the rights of the artists themselves. So this is the really interesting part of, you know, especially as a sociologist and kind of cultural critic, it's really, really interesting to look at, because Korean popular culture, the K-pop scene, has got sort of two sides to it. It's got the market side to it. You know, we're actually selling a product and we're consuming a product that is really highly produced, if you like, and it's very highly polished and it's really visually arresting and all that. But on the other hand, the fans are actually quite powerful then in demanding what they want from the production company. So you've often had these cases where fans have actually sort of gone against the production companies and kind of taken almost like a maternal role in order to promote the artist's rights, and they've been quite effective in doing that. So I guess if you look at it from the other end, I guess consumers of this pop culture could just demand better rights for the artists.
So it's quite a different thing to what we do with our association with our own musicians, obviously. With international interest, I suppose, in Korea itself, you've, you know, say the fans have quite a lot of power. Do you think that Korea takes much note of international you know, reactions or discussions of these on international platforms? How likely is that to change Korean society?
Well, I think that's a little bit broad question. I don't know if you can, would it be really fair question or really fair to say that an overseas kind of influence, or is it really our job to try to really influence another country?
Yeah.
I think...
I guess more like, how does international opinion affect, you know, the discussion in Korea itself?
Yeah, I guess it you could say in the same way as it would affect any other country as well, you know. But on the other hand, I think Korea is in such a mature state of democracy already that most of the actual change is happening from within, which is... And also, I think Korea is in many ways shown that it is such a sort of strong democracy that it really kind of takes power to the people in much more stronger and kind of vocal and loud ways than in many other places, you know, where people actually take to the streets and they very visually sort of demand for change. And that has proven to be very, very effective in the past few years. And I think it's more to do with sort of domestic situation rather than sort of external pressure, I would say.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you so much, Joanna, for joining us this morning to speak about it.
Not at all. Pleasure.